this is a Dipso cast.
Hello.
Oh, I'm Martin Wolfenden.
And I'm that. Yes, there, yes.
We're quite drunk. We've been watching the pilot of Sherlock tonight.
Not just that, it has to be said. I mean, it's worth pointing out that we've been watching very, 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 very more things than that.
Yeah. We watched... what was that? Monkey Dust. We watched Monkey Dust.
Yep, we watched 3 episodes of Monkey Dust, 2 episodes of Nightingales.
That's great. I love Nightingales. Do you remember the 90s when Nightingales was on? Hey,
it was very early 90s, because I was at school.
I was working at that time, and... you've got to remember that I'm old.
Oh, yeah.
You are incredibly old. Yeah.
Although,
incredibly older than me.
Yes, and not as old as some of the people listening to this who are possibly in retirement at that particular point in life and not at all working. We do have people who are that old listening to us.
Really?
Yeah.
Good lord.
We have people in their 60s and 70s who are listening not only to the Gentleman's Review, but to the Dipso cast.
How do they hang on? How do they manage to keep going?
It's the only thing that keeps them alive.
Well, I'm barely managing to keep myself going at sort of 30-odd. I mean, if I was two decades older than that, I'd...
That's very vague. How old are you exactly? 30-odd? That's quite a vague age. I mean...
I'm 36, I think.
36, you think?
I might be 37. I honestly don't know. It's like that wonderful bit in Morse, the one in Australia.
Oh, yes, yes.
Where Lewis asks him how old he is, and he just says, I forget, Robbie. I'm there already.
Oh,
and I'm not even 40.
Yeah, Morse always uses the word Robbie when he wants to get Lewis to do something interesting.
When he wants to win a bath.
Yeah, generally, And what year were you born there?
74.
74, there you go.
I remember that, because I just filled in my census. I did it online.
That means you are 2 years younger than me.
Mm. Have you done your census?
I have, it's sitting on my sofa now, all completed.
Why don't you do it on the net, you technophobe twat?
Because I want to see my handwriting in the future. 100 years hence.
You arrogant cunt.
I want the people that I accidentally... If I accidentally spunk out of a window and land into a woman's vagina, I want those people to be able to look back and go, that's your granddad signature there.
That's your accidental granddad.
Yeah. Probably not going to happen, but it may just happen.
You never know. You attend a fair number of festivals.
Yeah. So. I mean, the film Magnolia happened, and that was all about confluences of weirdness. So, yes, I kind of tried to do that in my real life. And
I didn't want to fill my census form in, but he told me it was against the law if I didn't.
Yeah.
And the last time the census came around, I was living with Andy, and neither of us filled it in.
In the year 2000
and we haven't been banged up in jail yet. So,
you've not been banged up the arse, have you?
So it's obviously not that illegal.
Important.
But I did it this time. I lied a bit. You know.
Yes. Well, I did lose my first census form. And you know why I lost it? You know what made me lose it?
Tell me.
It was the Megapoddy. That made me lose it.
Megapoddy.
Because during the Megapoddy, Lisa turned up. And I chucked it all behind the sofa, including my census form.
Nasty.
Yes, yeah. And but what tended to happen then was that it didn't turn up again. I don't know what happened to it, but it just didn't turn up again. So, I'm sorry, census man. It may be a bad one, but...
I was impressed by how techno-wizzy they were. Because the thing that I got through the post had a code in it, and the code that I put in then had my address.
Yeah.
Very, very precisely. Right. They didn't know who they'd send it to.
That's good.
You'd hope. I mean, you'd hope it would be that good.
I had to order a new one, and it turned up within 3 days, so it's fine, and I filled it in.
But they seem to want all the information on the 27th.
Yes. Well, that's...
I wasn't aware of that.
It's a traditional thing that they will always want it on one particular evening.
Yeah, I could think... Yeah. I mean, only being a few days
Yeah.
behind most. What? Eh? but I could think back that far and lie accordingly.
Yeah, that's good. So did you have 100,000 people in your house at that particular
time? I wasn't even in my house at that point.
That's good. So even you weren't out in your house, so that's good. So you didn't even have to fill in your census at all?
Well, the bit in the census where it said, you know, regardless of where you live, have you at any point in the last 12 months spent more than 30 days at a different address? It was not the point, the bit within the electronic form to put in mind your own fucking business.
Yes, I did think that, you know. And it was especially when it went to, about my day job business.
Or your job, as it's otherwise known.
Yes, I didn't like that. I didn't think it had any business at all talking into my job. So I gave it my sort of occasional night job as my appropriate business, you know. And
which is that?
My occasional shouting obscenities from the stage when I'm pissed.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. I thought that was the best thing to do. And
when you're occasionally doing the thing about the squiddle fucking.
Squiddle fucking, yeah.
Do the thing.
Although, ladies and gentlemen, you all know that now, don't you? You all know what the squirrel fucking is. And, I didn't do the full squirrel fucking. I don't know why I didn't. I don't know why I didn't do the rest of it.
No, I don't know. I was really, really hoping you would.
I
had no idea what we were going to do for the rest of the time there. I was hoping it would fill it until...
You and Andy went, way! And I went, well, I'm sorry, but I can't go any further than that. You've weighed. I can't possibly do the rest of it.
There was more.
Oh, yeah.
Because you said you could have panned it out before the punchline.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realise there was post-punchline padding.
Oh, God, there was fucking tons of... The post-punchline
padding. A potential plethora of post-punchline planning.
Indeed, sir, padding. My literative friend. Eh? So there was quite a lot of that. I mean, there were... essentially, the post-punchline padding was me fucking the squirrel.
Ah.
To death.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. And occasionally I would get complaints about that. Only a couple of occasions I got complaints about it. And you know, to be quite honest, it wasn't a particularly funny thing anyway. So to complain about that, you should have complained about the other stuff I was doing, which was even worse. And I'm ashamed of you people who complained about me.
I wouldn't have complained about anything. Anything that meant I didn't have to talk any longer.
Oh, tell me.
I was just happy with.
You may have noticed that during the entire podcast, I'd broken my brain to begin with. Actually, that sounds like a Christmas carol.
Yeah.
He had broken his brain to begin with.
Now, we have to think now, because this thing that we're recording now may probably go out before or after the podcast that we're going to do tomorrow.
It'll go out after.
And I absolutely can't... I can't imagine for 1 second that we're going to be in any state to do a decent one tomorrow.
Oh, no. If you are listening to the podcast, what date is it today? I can't tell using that. Because
it's the first.
It's the first.
Well, now, have we sloped over into the second?
We're in the second.
Of April.
Today is the 2nd of April.
But it was the first when we started drinking. So this is the great thing, because Martin had a shite day at work.
Yeah.
And I just had a shite day, full stop.
Yes.
And so I bought a litre of gin.
Yeah.
And sufficient tonic, and we went and watched nice DVDs at mine.
Yeah.
DVDs that Mr. Andy Wilson had actually bought for me.
Yeah, that's quite lovely of Andy.
In the last couple of Christmases that I hadn't watched until now. So. Yeah,
and he seemed to have perfectly,
yeah. With immense foresight.
Yeah.
Said, chosen the precisely right DVDs for us to enjoy ourselves with.
Yeah, so they'd obviously thought that, you know, Martin, if he ever went down to Tom's house, he would look at these two DVDs and go, I want to watch those. Yeah. Didn't come to me. No.
Didn't go to Martin, but came down to mine, and they were the first two he picks out.
Yeah. Because they were my favourites.
So. Yeah, the last three episodes of Monkey Dust.
Yes.
Which were great.
Yeah.
And then the first two episodes of Nightingales, which I obviously just don't remember. I remember it being good. I remember really enjoying it.
I remember it being good as
but
well.
But do not remember it being as weird and fucked up as it was. So.
Well, I do remember it being as weird and fucked up as it was, and I'm pleased to see that it is still as weird and fucked up as it was.
Mm.
And hooray to Mr. Which is the chap who's not crap? There are two chaps who would do sitcoms.
There's your Mr. Thrilly Thrilly Thrilly.
There's Nicholas Lyndhurst, who's shit. No.
Yes, Nicholas Lyndhurst was in it.
And Robert Lindsay, who is good. And now it's Robert Lindsay who was in this particular sitcom. And was good.
David Thrilly 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 Thrilly.
Was it Robert Thrill Thrill?
David.
David Thewlis. No, it wasn't David Thewlis. He was in Harry Potter.
Oh, I don't know.
It's Thewlis and Thrillpaw.
I thought it was David Thrill Thrilly Thrilly Thrilly.
They may be both David, I don't know. One of them is real. Mr. Ellis, of course.
Yes.
Who is a constant. So, yes.
And the other chap that was those two people in Who that I pointed out.
Yes.
Which is my only real fucking talent. So it seems.
He played two professors in Who.
Now, that's actually got to be
yeah.
A bit of a claim to fame.
And I can't remember with the names of either of them, but you may be able to add them.
Yeah, Watkins and something else.
The other one. You mix them up together.
It was the one in Robot and the one in Invasion.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are two professors in both of those things.
Yeah. Well, this is sad and crap.
Yeah.
What's amused me is that.
You may have heard a rocking noise there. It's only because I'm just checking what time of day it is.
Wait, so no, it's still
1:20. Oh, we've done that. We've done that. Yeah. So okay, yeah. It's not the running time I'm looking at. It's the mere time of day.
No, I'm loving that. We've got to the point where I knew we would.
Yeah.
And I was going out to Tesco earlier.
Yeah.
Because we texted each other, and you said, "I've had a shit day," and I said, "I've had a shit day."
Yeah.
So I said, "Come down to mine, we'll get hammered." And I went to Tesco, and I got a liter of gin.
Yes.
And three bottles of tonic.
Yeah.
And we came our way through those. And we've then come out.
Yes.
And
we're in public now.
The gins that I've got us both that were set in front of us at the moment, those two have been as much as 2/3 of the cost of the entire litre that we drank back in my...
Yeah.
And this is why you don't come out to drink.
Exactly.
Particularly in Sorby.
Pubs need to learn that going out to drink is very expensive. You see, they learned it in the 80s, and even in the 90s, they knew for a fact that if people went out to drink, they needed to go out and drink something cheaper than they could at home. But of course, in a new recession, they've got to learn that all over again.
Yeah. But for now, we've got to go for Tesco... liter extra special gin. I like how they have on their bottles that they claim that, you know, they've really taken account of how gin is meant to taste.
Yes.
And they've really done their best to make it taste like proper London gin.
You know what they say, a litre of gin is a pint and 3 quim.
and never a truer word was said.
No. In Beaujolais.
Mm. But we should talk about where we are now.
I have to confess to being very, very drunk this evening. So we're in the back room, or back courtyard.
Yeah, it's a backyard.
It's a backyard of an old cinema in Solway Bridge.
Yes, it's not been a cinema for about 50 years, but
you just can't help yourself.
It's the newest venue in Solway Bridge, and it calls itself the Roxy venue.
Yes, as in Roxy Music. Do you remember that in the 80s? That'd be new and exciting and new.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's about as exciting and as new as this is. We talked about it possibly after our Christmas pub
crawl. Yes, yes.
Basically, it's shite.
It's ghastly. And there's a man with a yellow jacket approaching us now. We don't know what he's going to do.
No, he's ignoring us because we don't have any empties. That's all he's bothered about.
He wants to come in our faces. And you know what?
You know,
to
you
do?
Would like him to come in your face.
You know what he likes to do? He likes to poke the eyes out of people.
Then look at him, I think that would be his prevalence.
He likes to tuck the eye to the right hand side. He pokes it in, you know. And then he sticks his cock in and he rubs it back and forward. And he keeps going until he's come into the brain. And then the people whose brain is full of cum, he invites to join various radio and television channels and make them do sports coverage. And that's how it propagates itself.
Yeah, I've been watching him for 5 minutes. I still think that that's just your brain that's making you think that.
I can't even see him.
I'm not getting that from him at all.
I'm just seeing a distant blur. I mean, you're obviously seeing him more accurate than I am.
Well-built, sober bloke in a day-glow jacket that's really, really hoping that 2:30 can't come quickly enough so he can fuck off home.
I'm just seeing distant, blurry bloke, and you really should...
Hey, there's a lass over there who's dressed like someone off of the Dominators.
Really?
That's a little reference for all the Who listeners out there. But,
yeah. Not at all any exterminators.
I'm just waiting for her to sit down so I can see right up the skirt.
And we're waiting now for the skirt shot. So while we're doing that, why don't you look at these hilarious pictures?
We were We're watching the pilot for Sherlock.
Yes, we were. And it's great fun. You know the great thing about watching a pilot for anything is just showing how good and bad parts of it are in retrospect. It's a lovely feeling. It's like you're God or something. Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, you certainly found that, eh? I just like noticing the bits. The BBC had obviously told them to pan it out to 90 minutes.
Yes.
And so they'd have to, like, furiously write things at last second. So,
it was
odd. Some of the stuff that they kept.
Yeah.
But I liked the ending. This one more than I liked the ending to the one that they actually broadcast.
Yeah. I'd like to say
that's my feeling.
So I had a judgment on that, but I was too pissed during the ending to have worked out whether I liked it or not. I'm sure I did. The bit I didn't like was the bit where Holmes punched the cat's vagina in. I find that to be a little bit too graphic and a little bit too sort of ITV to make it a good thing.
I just thought that was a homage to the bit where he sort of fingers the stoat in the speckled band. You know.
Well, yes. I suppose when the girl is dying and she goes, the stoat, the fingering stoat, oh, and the speckled bag, and then she dies. It's a terrible, terrible. In fact, when I was a kid, I used to have a few talking book Sherlock Holmes stories narrated by Tony Britton. Do you remember Tony Britton?
Off of Don't Wait Up.
Yeah, Don't Wait Up. Yeah.
Top sitcom.
Yeah, and whose son?
Diana Sheridan. Off of Who?
Right.
And Genevieve. The only two things I've ever known her to do.
That's it, yes. And,
a crass summary of her career.
Yeah.
For the listeners.
She had two things and those of them. And he turned up into My Dad Is the Prime Minister, of course, because his son was in My Dad Is the Prime Minister.
So Tony Britton turned into your dad and then became Prime Minister.
Yeah, that's it. And then then Tony Britton turned up in an episode of My Dad Being Prime Minister.
Yes.
I can't say. You can see by my inability to say. And played Father Christmas in a caravan. It was a beautifully poignant moment. And I think you should all watch it. It's great.
Yes.
Got Robert Bathurst was in that, playing the Prime Minister.
Yes, it must be on DVD somewhere.
Yes, it sure is. Written, of course, by Ian Hislop and another man. Who writes things with his hands, or maybe legs. I don't know, he might be one of those people who does it, the throat beard, I don't know. Might inject oxygen into a typewriter.
Sorry, my silence there was purely the coming to terms with the fact that you're obviously far more drunk than I thought you were.
That's good. I'm glad you finally come to terms with that. And that I won't have to pay out for some sort of horrible counselling service.
It shocked me.
Yeah. That's good.
Who did write Don't Wait Up?
Don't Wait Up was written...
Was it someone called someone Littleton? Or
it was George Layton.
Layton, that's the guy.
Yeah, somebody else. Who wrote that?
Bastard.
Yeah. Ian Hislop wrote my dad's Prime Minister, or whatever it's called, yes.
But Tony Britton must be dead by now, surely.
Oh, I hope not. I
hope not, obviously. Yes. But he must be. He must be dead.
Oh.
He must be dead and worm-ridden, even though I really hope he isn't. He must have carked it months back.
I don't think he has. I think he's still alive.
Start making way upstairs and sitting down here now.
Oh, I'm going to have sex. Okay, fantastic. Right. Apparently we're going to have sex now.
We've
got to make our way upstairs.
A tinted gentleman told us that... we're going to go.
We make our way upstairs. So
we've got to go back into the bad place.
Yeah.
I don't want to, Marty. Let me go back into the
bad
place.
I've got at least 2 rounds in my service revolver. We shall do the decent thing.
Yes, that's enough to dead us both.
Yes. Bye bye, Tom.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
Hello, we're inside now.
Yeah, this is a sort of a stealth Dipso cast, and purely because we're in a plight where I'd always assumed there would be a different atmosphere.
Yes.
Now, this is a place where it's quite a large room.
Yes.
And, you know, you're going during the day if you're that insane.
Yes.
And you have a large, white, open space with sort of suspended ceiling, horrible big screen tellies attached to all the walls, a few pool tables and chairs and tables distributed as if it was some sort of airport waiting lounge.
Yes.
And you expected to sort of be able to come in here and drink happily.
No, nobody ever could. I mean, if you imagine being slapped over the head by a turd while trying to have a nice pint of beer, which doesn't exist in this place. Okay, let's try and let me rework that, darling. Shall we rework it? Imagine being in a place where you can't possibly buy any kind of nice beer while being slapped over the head with a turd.
Mm.
Then you have some inclination.
Mm.
As to what this is, that doesn't make it. An inclination would suggest that you were leaning towards something, but let me suggest that you would not want to be here. It's horrible.
But imagine that place that you're in is also somewhere where you couldn't imagine yourself comfortably doing anything else.
No, exactly. I would say it was a cunt hole, but then the fact is a lot of people like to do things in ladies' vaginas, so it has to be something else. It has to be an orifice of the body that nobody really likes.
The funny is, I'd always been in here during the day.
Yes.
I had assumed.
Yes.
That given it was open until 2:00.
Yeah.
To serve spirits to arseholes.
Yeah, like me.
Come the evening, it would lower the lights and have some sort of dusky ambiance.
Ambiance, yeah, maybe.
It's as light as it always was. I'm going to have to take a photograph.
It's ghastly, isn't it? Yes, you're going to have to take the first photograph of the Dipsycast.
Mm.
Of this horrific
scene.
Well,
we might have to edit this because I've forgotten to bring my phone with me, so you'll have to take one with yours as soon as we finish recording.
We'll probably do that.
We'll scrub this bit. That'll be fine.
No, that's fine. But I tell you, it's been a while since I've seen being so drunk in any place at all. Apparently there's a sign on the screen. You know, like in a karaoke bar where they have signs up and you can sing along with them. So I'm going to sing along to this, what this sings.
In comic sounds.
Comic songs, it sings. It doesn't say, it just sings. So I'm going to say, here we go. You don't have to go home, but you can stay here. Oh, can't.
Can't.
No, I'm going to
There's
gonna
no apostrophe there.
I'm going to try that again. Can't. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
which is what it says on the screen.
Mm.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So what it's saying is fuck off. Which really sort of tells me that the people who run this place are pretty much just turds in a hat.
Absolutely. It's a big hat.
Yeah. It's not even a nice hat, is it?
Look, there's enough room for all the turds possible.
We all know the worst kind of hat in the world is a fascinator. So these people are turds in fascinators. Yeah.
What's that?
Tiny hats that ladies wear on their heads. You know, really common ladies?
Common ladies?
Common ladies. You know, ladies of the street.
I don't associate with such ladies.
Yeah, ladies of the street. If they're going to a wedding or such, they wear a fascinator, which is a very tiny... best way to describe it, Reeves and Mortimer, or even Jeeves and Mortimer.
Jeeves and Mortimer.
Jeeves and Mortimer. And Stephen Fry dipped out, and Vic Reeves moved in, you know.
That was a very short-lived series.
It was a very dreadfully awful series. And do you remember Matt Lucas, you know, near the fat man?
Yes.
Do you remember the episodes where he wore a very tiny hat?
Yes.
Those are fascinators on ladies.
All right.
Because people are going, what the fuck is that?
Why don't you just call it a small hat?
I think they should do.
It would have saved a hell of a lot of time on this Dipso cast.
So small-hatted ladies would love that little sign in Comic Sans that is on the screen. They would be maybe ejaculating to it in reams.
Although any woman in a small hat who actually wanted to get another drink would have been as pissed off as we are.
Yes. It's a horrible place, and you shouldn't
it is dreadful, and I said as much at Christmas, and...
Yeah.
I'm glad that I was right.
Yeah. I at this particular moment, I'm very tired and I'm very drunk. And as Tom may have been and as I have been, being very tired and being very drunk sometimes feels like you're in a, well, as you said, an airport lounge or airport sitting room, as I like to call it. A departure sitting room. And this feels like
I could see you would call it that. Yeah.
I'm now in an airport departure sitting.
I'm really scared. The scary tinted chap is coming back to us again. His horrible day glow jacket.
Should I turn my microphone around so we can maybe hear what he says?
We may hear.
Oh, he's gone away again. So there we go. Which reminds me of the olden days when we used to go to a place in Halifax called the Zoo Bar.
I can't remember which country it is, but there's a particularly country plays football who has a.
We certainly will.
Player called Zoo Bar.
Yes.
I'm greatly amused when the commentators shout out, Zoo Bar! Zoo Bar has the ball! Yeah. Takes me back
those
to the 18
the
and king out my tiny, tiny mind.
I have to say now, I have no idea how to speak anymore. So I'm going to say fairly well.
Yes, and I will say, if you're really listening to this, you really haven't got a life.
No. And we're going to sing now a lovely Liverpudlian ditty, which goes on fairly well. My Own True Love.
Yes, fairly well, My Own True Love.
Thingy, 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 thing.
And diddle, 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 and stuff.
It's not the leaving of Liverpool that agrees me. But my darling, when I think of thee.
Oh, you were thinking of that one?
Yeah,
oh, right, okay.
I was. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.